It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 27. We're going to begin reading with the 16th verse today. So please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 27, verse 16, and we'll begin the study there. So you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Exodus chapter 27, verse 16, we'll begin to read. And for the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework, and their pillars shall be 4, and their sockets 4. All the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, and their sockets of brass. The length of the court shall be 100 cubit, and the breadth 50 everywhere, and the height 5 cubits of fine twined linen, and their sockets of brass. All the vessels of the tabernacle, in all the service thereof, and all the pins thereof, and all the pins of the court shall be of brass. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten, for light, to cause the lamp to burn always, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Now the 28th chapter. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron and Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, and Aaron's sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may take Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now we're going to end reading there, and it's important that we will take a look at these verses of Scripture. I hope that you're able to take time and do that today. If you're traveling, if you're getting ready for church, whatever it might be, that's okay. We'll just please listen. Just please listen carefully. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, I thank you that we can come together and enjoy this time. Please that you will guide and lead us through your Word. It is so important, dear Lord, that you take us step by step. Show us each section, each part, each word, that, dear Lord, it is nothing but bringing honor and glory to you through this study. We want folks that are lost to be saved. We want folks that are saved to grow. So please, dear Lord, and that they'll seek out, share the gospel with others. Please, dear God, that you will guide and lead us today through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, each time that we go through this, it seems like that we have been here in this area. We've been getting past about, eight verses of Scripture each week as we look through each step and each part. And now we have found ourselves to the to this courtyard that the brazen altar is. You have the gate, and then you come into the gate, you have the brazen altar and the brazen laver, and then you go on into the tabernacle itself, and in the tabernacle you have the lampstand, the table of showbread, you have the incense altar, and then beyond the veil you have the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And so what a wonderful building, what a wonderful look and picture we have of the Christian's life, a wonderful picture of what the Lord Jesus does for us, not only for salvation, but also for feeding and for growth. And so we continue now as we look and we study here, and we find this this courtyard. We know it to be 150 feet long, and it's 75 feet wide. As you come through the door, there is only one door to come, and it's kind of like with Noah and the ark. You know, there was only one door, and that is one of the few things that God did not give any specifications on. There was nothing said on its size, because all can come. There is no one that is rejected from coming. The only way that you avoid, the only way that you do not become a believer in Jesus Christ is to not believe. You can be lost. You can condemn yourself to hell. And that's what you're going to do if you don't come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Today, so many have neglected that responsibility. They believe that I go to church and sure, I know all that, and so that's it. It's a personal relationship. It's an invitation that you make, inviting the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. You will know that day. You'll remember that day. And so please come today and trust in Him if you have not. And so this door, it's the only way for salvation is to Jesus Christ. And so, of course, with Noah's Ark, there's just one door. There's also just one gate coming into this this tabernacle. And as we look at that gate, we find it to be on the east side. And there is a 22.5 little offset on each corner. Then the gate itself, the entrance, is 30 feet into the courtyard. And the first thing they run into is that brazen altar. And so as we look at this, and now we have looked at the fence, so to speak, for a lack of a better statement here. And that fence is 7 to 7.5 feet tall, goes all the way around the courtyard, this 150 by 75, and excluding just the gate. It is just of white, fine twine linen, and it speaks of His righteousness. But all through this, even the very barrier that keeps one out, we have the fine twine linen, which speaks of the righteousness. We have the brass, which are the sockets that the poles are made of and set in. And then we have the silver. There's a little clasp that holds this white veil up, this white linen up. And it's a silver, and of course we know the silver speaks of His blood, of His atoning power and strength. We know the brass talks about judgment, and the fine linen speaks of His righteousness. And so you see, we can come, but we can't come through that. That is barring everyone from coming, and we must come the proper way. And now we find this gate, this door. And so here is the gate, and as they approach this this gate, we have returned to the blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen. Now that's what we had before, wasn't it? And we have gained that again. It's back, and so we have the same colors on the ceiling of the tabernacle. We have the same colors on the veil that separate the holy place and holy of holies. And here as we come in, this beautiful hanging, this draped across the gate, we have the dimensions. It says the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits. And so as we look at 20 cubits, that's approximately 30 feet. And it's blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen. You know, we're right back to those beautiful colors once again, aren't we? Blue and scarlet and fine twined linen. Every time that we move through, we find it speaks so clearly of the Lord Jesus. And you can't miss that. so often we get so tied up with the religion that we forget that it is a personal relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is a person. He is fully God, fully man. And He come. He saved us. He sought us. He saved us. And now we need to serve Him. Now, I say He saved us. But until you come by faith to Him, that salvation is not, it is a free gift, but you must receive that gift. And you'll say, Larry, I don't believe that. Well, if you'll believe it, if you'll come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in Him, you'll know there's a difference in you the day you trust in Him. Because the day you meet my holy God is a day that you will remember, because then He will be your holy God too. And so please don't just make your mind up that I'm not going to do it. Don't make your mind up that it just, I don't need it, because you do need it. You've got to come by faith, because you've got to come and serve the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This blue, again, speaks of Christ's, of the heavens, of Christ's home, of his place, His origin. The scarlet is the sacrificial death. Oh, please, that you understand what that means for you and for me. The purple is His character, because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the white, of course, is His righteousness, His purity, His perfection. And so we have all those wonderful pictures every time. And we have the same thing when we walk into the courtyard. There is Christ. There is the Lord Jesus. And He's saying, come, bring your offering. Bring your sacrifice unto me, and I will accept it. And He even, this is to the Jews, but today now, He is standing at that place, and He's saying, I am your sacrifice. Come unto me. So by walking through the gate and coming to that brazen altar brings you right to where you need to be. And I want you to come there today. I want you to meet Jesus Christ. Today is a day of salvation. Please that you come, and you come quickly. And we have all the beautiful needlework that was a part of it. And we have the pillars shall be four and the sockets four. This is verse 17. And the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, and their sockets of brass. Once again, as this is girded up, as it's held up, we have the not only the white linen, we also have these the blue and the purple, the scarlet and the fine twine linen. We also have the beautiful needlework. Now we come and we got the silver again, and we have the brass again. You see, the plan of salvation is pictured so often, even at the very door, very gate, this of the courtyard here. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, and the breadth 50 cubits. Again, it's 150 by 75. And the height 5 cubits of fine twined linen, 7.5 feet tall. And their sockets of brass. Remember, that judgment is there. Because until that acceptance of that sacrifice, bringing that sacrifice or accepting Jesus Christ today, accepting Him as our sacrifice, there is no salvation for you. And so we have all that in place, this beautiful hanging of the court, this righteousness which God demands in His law. So please don't ever think that you can come another way. It is by God's redemptive work in His Son, the Lord Jesus, that allows us to enter. And that's where the silver comes in. The sockets of brass, once again, is the judgment we talk about. Now, we love looking at those verses of Scripture and seeing those. And now we're going to continue, because it just progresses right on through as Moses is putting this all together. And you may not realize, but they're at Mount Sinai for almost a year in building this tabernacle. You know, they come from Egypt and cross the Red Sea, and they meander around just a very short time, come right to Mount Sinai. And that's where Moses received all of this. And they did not move until they had built this tabernacle. But we know some things here are going to come, because this is the instructions that Moses is getting, and he's to carry it out. And now we find, as we move forwards in the 20th verse, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring pure oil, olive beaten, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony." Now we're going to stop right there. It tells us the very location. It's not in the Holy of Holies. It's in the holy place. There are two lights. We've always talked about just the one. We have two lights. We have one, this lampstand. I have always said there is no natural light in the holy place. And so you say, "Well, Larry, why is there two?" Well, there are two lights, but one is in the holy place and one is in the Holy of Holies. The holy place has this lampstand and this oil we're speaking of here. But the Holy of Holies has the glory of the Lord. And we know that in eternity, there'll be no sun, there'll be no moon, because the light will be His glory. And so they experienced that on a small scale with this tabernacle. And so we find His glory in the Holy of Holies. We find the holy place, this lampstand. And it speaks of the oil. And it's said here that the congregation without the veil, which is beyond the testimony, back up verse 20, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." That lamp was never put out. That lamp was never given an opportunity to go out, and it wasn't to be, because our Lord Jesus is our eternal light, and this oil, we find that in Christ, the oil-fed light burns forever. He is the light of the world. This place here, it is in the sanctuary. It is not out in the world. There is no other light. And we need to recognize that when we are serving our God, when we have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and when we do that, when we come believing, it can't get any simpler than that, my friend. Believing. You have to believe. And please throw all your religious tradition out the window. Now, some of it there is nothing wrong with. But to begin with, at the beginning, you've got to get rid of it. Because you got to come, and you got to come with your hands empty, because we got nothing to give our Lord. And I'm afraid too many times today, with what we know and what we understand and all the learning we have, while we try to work with the psychologist and the psychiatrist and all these things, and we need to work with our God. We need to do better than that. We need to follow our God, and we need to praise Him, and we need to honor Him. And we get all this stuff in our head, and the reason that people are and folks make so much money and so many people go to psychologists and psychiatrists and all those things is because they are not willing to surrender unto their Lord. That's the problem. They're not willing. And are you saying, Larry, that there is no reason for a psychologist and a psychiatrist? I don't know anybody that I know, and I don't, maybe there's somebody that needs them. I don't know. But I know that I'd have known no one. They just need to ask their God to forgive them and apologize for depending upon man to guide them. It says, well, they needed help, and it's a Christian psychologist or psychiatrist. They teach you to depend on them. And I'm asking you that you depend upon the Lord. And here they're coming. There's to bring the oil. That oil is a beautiful a picture, of course, of the Holy Spirit. We are to be led. We are again in the sanctuary. We are not out in the world where this light is. And any time that we come to be fed, we must be fed by the Holy Spirit and Him alone. Not by some traditions, not by some doctrines. We need to be fed and fed by Him alone. Now, I stand in the pulpit and I preach God's Word. I preach it out of His book. I don't preach somebody's the psychology and the other things. I just teach His Word. Now, if you want that, come. If you don't want that, don't come. Because we don't have time here to babysit folks that don't want the truth. I want folks that's serious about the Word of God. Come, hear the Word of God. Confess your sin before our holy God, not before me, as some do. They have to go to the confession, and they have to go and do all these things all the time in order to get themselves right. No, you just need to turn to God and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please save me. And He will save you. He will forgive you, and then you'll begin this wonderful walk. And when you have this wonderful walk with Him, why then, as you walk through this life and get your feet dirty, why, you'll need to come back to Him. Now, salvation is yours eternally, but you're going to break fellowship because that old world gets in the road many, many times. And so please that you look to Him and trust in Him and depend upon Him. But it must come from the teaching of the Holy Spirit, not from man. And so when you sit in a class, a Bible class, when you sit underneath the preacher in your church, you look to God's Word and you say, and I hope you're saved, because if you're not saved, the Spirit of God's not going to lead you. But if you are, you ask that Spirit to guide you and to lead you. And He will bring you to the truth, and He will bring you to a place that will never contradict His Word, ever. And too often I've had people say, oh, that, you know, that's the Spirit told me to do this, and yet it's against the Word of God. That can't be. That cannot be, because the Spirit of God will never go against the Son of God or God the Father, ever. They're never confused. They're never sending two different signals, never. And so please that you look to the Word of God and look for this this fellowship, this communion. What do we have in the holy place? We have the table of showbread to feed upon. We have the light of the lampstand to light our path. That is the wonderful direction that the Holy Spirit's going to give us. We have the Word. We have the path. We have that sweet incense. As we have an opportunity to pray to our God, asking Him, fellowshipping with Him, seeking His will, seeking His direction, it's wonderful to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a couple of verses of Scripture here that I want you to see, and I know I spend an awful lot of time looking in God's Word and talking about these things, and you say, Larry, I'm tired of it. I hope not. Because, you see, I'm sure not tired of it, and I have taught this many times. I love it. It's such a joy to take time to look to the Word of God. And so, please, don't miss the opportunity. We have here in John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's what comes as we walk into the holy place and be led by the Spirit of God. And please that you follow that way and you do that work. It is so important. We also have back in John chapter 3, verse 34, for whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for He giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Please that you realize that the Spirit of God desires to teach all of the Word of God to you. We need to go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. It's such a joy to study the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows." The wisdom, the ability to take on the challenges of the day and to know what to do. It's so important that we seek the will of God and we walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a couple other verses of Scripture here as we continue to look at this wonderful verses of Scripture. 2 Corinthians. Go back, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You remember I said that there were the glory in the Holy of Holies, and there was the light of the lampstand in the first room, the holy place. Well, you see, Jesus Christ, when he finished the work on Calvary, that veil between was torn from top to bottom. And so now those two lights, there's still two separate lights, the Son of God and God the Father. We still have the full glory of God, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he came to earth, did not bring his full glory with him. He was fully God and fully man, and he come to seek and to save us. That's a beautiful verse of Scripture. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and then we'll bring the day to a close, as we always run out of room, so quickly. 1 John chapter 1, and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all our sins." Now, that's talking about a believer. The sin, salvation, the wages of sin is death. When we come by faith to Jesus Christ, God takes away every sin, takes it away as far as the east is from the west, which never meet, so it never returns. When we walk in this life, we get dirty. We need to walk in the light. The only way we can do that is if we're a believer, and have fellowship one with another. The only way we can do that is if we're believers. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we walk in this life, we get dirty. We're still in the old flesh, but it's forgiven, and the Lord Jesus Christ keeps us through his blood. We are covered in his precious blood. So please, God knew every sin you were ever going to commit, and he's taken it away. But until you come by faith to him and trust in him, it'll be of no value to you. I sure hope that you come by faith to Jesus Christ today if you've not. I ask that you trust in him, that you walk with him. I love these verses of Scripture. I love studying the book of Exodus, as I love studying the full word from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. But now we have gotten to the end of the chapter here. We have talked about the hangings of the gate. We've talked about the light of the oil. And next time we come together, we'll begin with Aaron and his sons and the garment that he's going to wear. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. But if you don't, please, please, today come. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let your religion, your church, your lodge, anything keep you from coming to to Jesus Christ by faith today, please call upon Him. Believe in Him, please. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?